Welcome. I'm Father Mitch Paquin. Welcome to EWTN Live. We bring you guests from around the world. Our guest tonight is coming to us from Peoria, Illinois. We're at the Cathedral of St. Mary of the Immaculate Conception. Venerable Fulton J. Sheen learned to serve Mass as a young boy and was ordained a priest in 1919. This year, almost 47 years after his death, Archbishop Sheen will be beatified in St. Louis, Missouri on September 24th. Here to tell us more about the Emmy Award-winning priest, his upcoming beatification, and how you can make a pilgrimage to the tomb of the newest American blessed, please welcome Bishop Louis Tilka. Excellency, welcome.
Father Mitch, it's great to be with you.
Good to have you here.
Thank
good
you.
To have you here indeed. Are you from Peoria?
No, I actually grew up in the south suburbs of Chicago.
Okay.
I was a priest
you
of
and
Chicago.
The Pope.
I was born
hey,
in the town next turn over.
Yeah, wait a minute, what is this? You know, sort of, you know, the neighborhood taking care of itself
that's
here.
That's right,
you know?
That's right. So within 5 miles now, I always point out that you've got a bishop, an archbishop, and a pope.
There you go.
Because Archbishop Hicks of New York and myself were born at Ingalls Memorial Hospital in Harvey, Illinois. Mm-hmm. And of course, Pope Leo, as a young boy, lived in Dalton, Illinois. And so I'm from Harvey, Archbishop Hicks is from South Holland, and Pope Leo is from Dalton. And so within 5 miles, you got a bishop, an archbishop, and a pope.
Well, it's like Mayor Daley said years ago when they questioned him and said, Your Honor, why do you only hire people from your ward to work at City Hall? I said, what do you want us to do, hire strangers? I guess that's the pope's attitude.
Exactly.
It's a Chicago thing.
It is.
Well, congratulations on being the Bishop of Peoria. So how long have you been there now?
I've been there for 6 years.
Okay.
So I was ordained bishop July 23rd in 2020. I was a lone bishop of 2020 in the United States as a coadjutor bishop. Mm-hmm. Which meant that I would succeed my predecessor, Bishop Janke, when he retired, which he did on his 75th birthday. So I was initially a coadjutor bishop and then became the diocesan bishop on March 3rd of 2022.
Okay. Yeah, and in fact, we had Bishop Janke on this program back, well, I think 2002 or so, 2003 maybe, and he was talking about Archbishop Sheen as he was appointed to Peoria. And it's great to have you, his successor, here as well. And, you know, did you have much contact or background in Archbishop Sheen when you came to Peoria?
I did not. Did not grow up in the generation that watched him or heard him on the radio. That was my father's generation. One of the first things my father said to me when I told him that I was going to be the Bishop of Peoria and mentioned Archbishop Sheen, he talked about the fact that he used to listen to him when he was a kid.
Yep.
So I did not grow up knowing Sheen, but I knew of him, I knew a bit about him, had read a few things, never had read one of his books, seen a couple episodes of Life is Worth Living. But when I found out that I was going to Peoria as the bishop, and I literally found out on Twitter of a post from Rocco Palmo of Whispers and Loggias that was announcing my appointment as the bishop and said that I was now in charge of the cause of canonization for Archbishop Fulton Sheen, it was quite a shock. I mean, if not being named a bishop wasn't a big enough shock, now I was going to be in charge of a process of canonization for one of Peoria's native sons.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Now, let's just talk a little bit so folks understand. A lot of people in our audience are not Catholic and don't know a lot about what goes on in the process of being beatified and canonized stuff. Tell us just a quickly a rundown of that, and then we can talk more about what's going to happen with Archbishop Sheen.
So cause for canonization is opened by the local church. So Bishop Janke was the bishop of Peoria who opened up the cause for Fulton Sheen's canonization. That's sent to the USCCB, the Conference of Bishops, who vote to advance and say that it's worthy of investigating and moving a cause forward, which obviously was done. Then there's a lot of research into the person's life. With Sheen, there's so much material to look at, from all of his writings, his 66 books, not to mention the pamphlets and lectures and retreats that he gave, the TV show, the radio show. All of that had to be investigated, as well as asking the question, is this a heroic witness whose virtue and life is something to emulate? As the process moves forward, at one point he's declared venerable, and that really is the recognition that the church overall believes the process should be moving forward. So he was declared venerable. And then really what you're awaiting is a miracle to take place. Mm-hmm. And once a miracle takes place and has been accepted and verified by the Vatican.
And by miracle, you don't mean, oh, I found a parking space in Manhattan. No, it has to be
a true miracle.
God's action.
God's action through the intercession of the individual that is being considered. And so once that miracle takes place and is investigated and approved, then the Holy Father signs off on the beatification, which is the stage we're at now, is beatifying Fulton Sheen. And then we will pray for one more miracle, one more miracle to be occur through Sheen's intercession, and then obviously verified by the church, and then he would be declared a saint. He would be canonized a saint.
And when the church verifies a miracle, it's not just, you know, some of the altar boys get together and vote on it. I mean, they consult with medical doctors if it's a medical healing, and they do a very careful.
It's a very thorough process.
Yeah, they don't just sort of jump. Oh, we feel it's kind of nice. No, it's fairly rigorous.
Well, and so we're blessed because obviously we have a miracle that took place that the church accepted. It was a young boy born at home. With no heartbeat. And they rushed him to the hospital. And after 61 minutes, when the doctors were ready to say that this child is not surviving, all of a sudden there was a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And that child is now a teenage boy, no residual effects from not having a heartbeat for 61 minutes. He's a normal teenage kid, wonderful young man from a family that's very devout and had a devotion to Fulton Sheen. And as soon as things were happening with the birth that the crisis of the moment, they began praying and asking people to pray to Fulton Sheen, which is why the church accepted that miracle. Okay. The good news is that since Pope Francis actually signed off on the beatification, we have received additional reports of potential miracles that can be investigated once the beatification takes place. So we might already actually have the miracle for canonization. It's just we have to do the beatification, and then we can investigate these reports.
Yeah, the church really does try to be very careful with this. It's avoiding jumping into things, and that's very important.
Right,
very important. And and just also so folks understand, in the investigation before being made venerable. They go through to make sure that nothing he taught was heretical. They check his moral character.
Correct.
All that is carefully studied, and that's an important part of this too, because
they really do want to make sure that the individual that is being lifted up is someone who is a model of faith, who is given a heroic witness and has, been, as Pope St. John Paul II said of him, a loyal son of the church.
Yes.
So his life was truly picked apart and examined from many different aspects. And of course, his life is a life that is an example for all of us to try to admire and to follow in that example of living our life of faith.
And the other part of that too is the church wants to be able to say, this man's teaching has been found very solid. Mm-hmm. He teaches the truth about Jesus Christ, his church, and all the truth about God. So if you listen to his tapes or TV shows, we guarantee he's authentically teaching the Catholic faith.
Correct, correct.
Yeah.
He's a solid philosopher, which is where his degree came from, and a solid theologian.
Yes.
And he was, you know, a brilliant man who could speak on all aspects of our life with clarity, mm-hmm. with charity,
yes.
with humor, and with a deep understanding of our relationship with God and how we're called to live our relationship with God.
The other thing too, because like your dad, I'm that generation that grew up listening to Archbishop Sheen as a child, and it's something to consider the passion with which he explained his love of Christ, mm-hmm. his love of the church and Our Lady. His book, The World's First Love, on mm-hmm. the Blessed Mother, it's just fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, so he's got great material.
Everything he did came from what he called the most important hour of the day, which was a holy hour. And he committed himself to make a daily holy hour, spend an hour in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. Almost all the time it was in the morning. Obviously, with travel and such, there were days that it was later in the evening by the time he got to someplace. But he never missed a day where he did not go and spend time before the Blessed Sacrament, being nurtured in that deep friendship, as he called it, with the Lord,
yes.
and allowing the Lord to speak to him. He was a man of prayer.
Yes, he was.
And so all of the work that came out of his work as a professor, as a TV personality, radio host, the work he did with the Mission Society, his work as a bishop, it all came because he was fed first by that encounter with Jesus that he made every day. And of course, that just shaped his life because he knew what he received from the Lord was what he was called to share with the world.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, the process for his beatification, you know, seemed to get a hitch in it at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to explain a little bit about what was going on?
Sure.
And what was the difficulty?
Well, the process in my opinion, I've never saw a reason why the process wouldn't continue. Mm-hmm. I've had confidence from the day that I found out that I was Bishop of Peoria and now would shepherd this process further. I've never felt that this was not going to happen. It was going mm-hmm. to happen in the right time. And back in 2019, when the beatification was initially scheduled, looking back, it was not the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And the main reasons why it was not the right time was at the time in the state of New York, where Sheen spent a good part of his life and was also the diocesan bishop of Rochester, New York.
Mm-hmm.
The state of New York was, through the attorney general, had a look back period to look back at potential abuse cases of the past. And not that Sheen was being accused, but did he do something, especially when he was the bishop of Rochester, that mm-hmm. he would have not acted properly in dealing with a past case of abuse? The Diocese of Rochester at the time was also in bankruptcy proceedings. And so the climate in New York was something that was just something that was a little skeptical as to, is this the right moment? We didn't want to embarrass the church.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the fact of the matter is, as we like to say, Sheen is clean. There was nothing there. We never believed that there would be anything there.
No.
And honestly, since becoming a bishop, I have never encountered any resistance for the cause to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And the question has been, when is the opportune moment?
Yes.
And, you know, I think in God's providence, now is the opportune moment, right?
Yeah.
Here we're going to beatify America's bishop during the 250th anniversary of our country. We're celebrating an extended 150th anniversary of the diocese from where he came, the Diocese of Peoria. And so it's the right moment. And yeah. God says it's the right moment.
You know, and we were talking earlier, Cardinal Dolan, who was mm-hmm. cardinal in New York City,
right.
but is himself from the Midwest. He's
right.
from Missouri, as I recall. He was gung-ho in favor of the beatification. He wasn't, you know, some people were trying to say he was slowing it down. That's not the case.
I met Cardinal Dolan for the first time at a bishop's meeting,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to introduce myself as the new bishop of Peoria. And in our brief exchange, he said to me, he said, nobody wants to see Sheen beatified, ultimately canonized, more than me. I took him at his word.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I have never encountered from any bishop resistance to Sheen's cause moving forward.
Yeah.
It's always been just the question, is it the right moment?
Yes.
And
yes.
as I said, I think now is the right moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a good thing. And this beatification is celebrated during Holy Mass, correct?
Correct.
Are you doing that in Peoria?
No, we're not doing that in Peoria. I made the decision as we were planning, beginning to plan, when it looked like we were going to get permission to move forward with the Beatification Mass. As I said to my team, who really was focused on celebrating the Beatification in Peoria, I said, Sheen is not just for Peoria, he's for the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to do the celebration in a venue that we could maximize people's participation. When you look at the history of beatifications that have taken place in the United States over the last 25 years, we've gone from 1,000 to 2,000 to 14,000 to 60,000 in Ford Field for Blessed Solanus Casey back in 2017. And nothing against wonderful Blessed Solanus Casey, but Fulton Sheen's a little more well-known, mm-hmm. Not only in the United States, but around the world. So. Anticipating the great interest that I have experienced for people for the beatification to take place, I assumed that we were going to need a venue that would, again, allow people, as many people as possible, to participate. And
mm-hmm.
that's why we looked. Unfortunately, we don't have a facility in our diocese that could house a great number of folks. And so we looked at surrounding areas. And the wonderful thing is St. Louis is only 2.5 hours away. And the Dome in St. Louis doesn't have a football team, so during football season, we don't have to worry about competing to find time, and we can have upwards of 75,000 people gather in St. Louis at the Dome of the Americas. So that's where I decided to celebrate the beatification.
Sounds wonderful. Yeah, that sounds like a good chance to pull people together, because like you say, he's for the world. EWTN also has an affiliate in Poland,
mm-hmm.
EWTN Polska. And they love Archbishop Sheen over there.
Yeah.
You know, when he taught, you know, Life is Worth Living, he had a lot of programs against communism.
Yes.
And they lived it.
Mm-hmm.
They lived that nightmare of communism in Poland. They knew what it was like and how their faith brought them through.
True.
So when they listen to Sheen,
absolutely.
They're all nodding their heads.
Right.
He had it exactly right.
Yeah.
And he knew what he was talking about in terms of the weaknesses and downright evils of communist thought. So this is a powerful thing that he's still affecting people around the world.
Absolutely. I like to say that no matter where I go, if I say I'm the Bishop of Peoria, it leads to a conversation about Fulton Sheen. And in my now 6 years of serving as a bishop, I've traveled to places across our country, and I've been blessed to make several trips across to Europe and even to Africa. And again, I was amazed that here I'm in Tanzania, and I'm having a conversation. I brought the bishop a copy of Sheen's book, A Priest Is Not His Own, to give as a gift. And when I gave it to the bishop, he says, oh, I already read that. I listened to Sheen when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And he inspired me to be a priest.
Yeah.
A few years ago, I was in France on a pilgrimage with our vocations office, praying for vocations. And I was in where St. Margaret Mary Alacoque had the vision of the Sacred Heart. There's an 83-year-old priest who gave us a presentation, and at the end, in conversation, we were there in January, so I was in the back. I was had my winter coat on. He couldn't tell I was the bishop, but the folks with us pointed out, and he came running up to me. He says, you're Sheen's bishop. And I said, well, I'm the bishop of Peoria.
Yeah.
I didn't want to claim that I was officially Sheen's bishop. I would much rather he be my bishop than, my being his. But he said, as a young boy, we listened to Sheen, and he inspired me to be a priest. So truthfully, whether it's Poland, where, as you just pointed out, his strong speaking out against communism left a lasting impact on that country, whether it's in the middle of Africa, Tanzania, whether it's in France, I know there's a huge following of Sheen in Brazil. Literally around the world, Fulton Sheen had an impact because of who he is.
Yeah.
You know, speaking out against the evils of the world, calling us to live a life of holiness, calling us to live a life of charity, and giving witness to our faith by being people of prayer and living out the gospel.
We have a clip of Archbishop Sheen that was made just a few months before he died, and you can still see his vigor of his love for the church and standing up for it. Let's take a quick look at it.
I came across a quote from you from, 4 years ago, more than that, in which you said that you prayed that you dropped dead before you were 80 because you probably could not work at full schedule. Thank God your prayers were not answered. But now that you're 84, are you going to try for 90?
No. No, please God, I don't want to live that long. The reason I prayed to die at 80 was because I felt that my usefulness would be finished. But it isn't. And so I'm happy to work, and I'm happy to go to heaven, and when I get there, I'll ask the good Lord to send me back after a few days of happiness there to come down and do some more work here.
What is it you're doing now?
I'm writing my own autobiography. It is called Clay. That is to say, the clay refers to me. The treasure in clay is the vocation.
Bishop Sheen, do you foresee in the distant future any change in the church's stand, the Catholic Church's stand, and certain issues today which have been quite controversial? Certainly abortion has been. Do you foresee ever any change in that?
No.
Not at all?
No, because we have no power over the divine law. Furthermore, suppose we did. Suppose John Paul II tomorrow said, all right, bring out your contraceptives. Pull out your scalpels. Unplug the children from their wombs. Marry as you please. Unmarry as you please. Fornicate as you please. What would be the difference between the church and the world?
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And you know, there are so many people outside of faith who think that morality is arbitrary, that they, you know, they can change it like they change state and national laws, or that it's about getting power for one group. The reason we do this is so that we get more power. So
right.
That's their perspective. And that's not it at all. And no. Sheen was absolutely clear.
Sheen was crystal clear in his faith and in how we are to live a life that is worth living, the name of his show, which is to live for God, to live with God, and to live a life that is worthy of being a child of God, that we inherit eternal life with the Lord, who was willing to die for our sins.
And, you know, I was relating to you at dinner. I was very blessed when I was a first year of studying theology, after I'd finished my period of teaching and started theology. I was early in the year because I was taking a couple courses in Greek and Hebrew. And I heard this familiar voice coming out of the auditorium at this Lutheran school. I was taking Greek and Hebrew with the Lutheran seminary. And I stopped, and there was Archbishop Sheen. Mm-hmm. And so every day after Greek class, I would go over and listen to him. And it was just wonderful to listen. I still regret, though, that it was amazingly too shy to go and introduce myself. I still kick myself for not having said hello to him. Well, but he was truly great.
And all the stories that I've heard about him is that if you had been not timid and went and introduced yourself, he would have stopped the world and looked at you with his piercing eyes and engaged you in a conversation.
That's what everybody says, that he was not just about the ideas.
No.
He knew and he was so brilliant, but he really focused on the people. And you can pick that up from the talks that he gave and relating these conversations that he had. So that's a powerful thing. And I think, I don't know what his patronage will be, but those of us in the media that are continuing on something he started before, he was the first televangelist.
Exactly.
You know, no pinky rings, just his bishop's ring.
Yeah.
That was it. But yeah, he, he'll certainly have some special patronage, I have no doubt.
I would expect him to have some patronage of media because he was masterful at it.
Yeah, he was. And this is something that he sets the norm. Do you know when his feast day will be?
I do. His feast day will be December 9th.
December 9th. And why would they choose that date?
Well, it's the day that he passed.
Okay.
And, of course, it's on the heels of the Immaculate Conception and his great devotion to the Blessed Mother.
Yes.
So it just seems that that's the fitting day.
That sounds like a very, very good choice. Yeah, so we'll be able to celebrate, you know, him as one of the blessed. When somebody is a blessed, mm-hmm. are people in the church permitted to name churches after him?
Yes.
So they can start to name churches and chapels after Archbishop Sheen.
Yes.
What about his feast day? I mentioned his feast day. Uh-huh. What can they do in terms, because the church doesn't just, you know, invoke people willy-nilly, that is careful. What on his feast day can they do to remember him?
So once he's declared blessed, there's proper prayer text prepared for celebrating Mass in his honor. Mm-hmm. As well as prayer texts to go into the breviary. So those texts have been looked at and approved by Rome, the Holy See. Mm-hmm. The feast day will be celebrated in the Diocese of Peoria.
Okay.
Because it's the local church and it's the local cult, and I mean that in the good way, mm-hmm. Of devotion to him that has brought us to this moment and will continue. Other dioceses, other places can request permission to celebrate his feast day, but that permission has to be granted because he's not declared a universal saint of the church yet.
Yes.
And so we get the privilege, the honor of celebrating the feast day in Peoria first, other places that have been impacted by him mm-hmm. Can make that request and likely receive permission so that, again, we continue to pray through his intercession that God will continue to work wonders in our lives.
And then there'll also be special prayers, usually on cards, holy mm-hmm. cards with his image on
right.
it, that will be asking for his intercession.
Correct.
And if there are favors granted by God, especially miraculous ones, that people can then contact the Diocese right. of Peoria, right. and you know they'll be considered, depending what's happened,
right.
they'll be considered for
right. So,
canonization.
So there's already a prayer for canonization. We also have a prayer for favors that have been in use now for almost 25 years. Since the cause began, we will, as part of the beatification, unveil a new image that is being made, which is the official image of Fulton Sheen then mm-hmm. for the beatification, the first image with him with a halo. And obviously we'll have a prayer on that card as well. That the first time the world will see that image is at the beatification mass.
Okay.
And the other thing with once he is declared blessed, then his tomb actually can become and used as an altar. And so we've already done work in our cathedral where his remains are mm-hmm. to prepare his tomb so that it can be used to be celebrated as the altar to celebrate Mass on top of.
And if people wanted, they could also have official pilgrimages
absolutely.
To go to your cathedral
yep.
and you know masses be celebrated there and yep. other ways of learning about him and honoring him.
We have a lot planned. We already get several thousand visitors a year to the tomb, and we have a very small museum in our pastoral center. But we expect that those numbers are going to grow exponentially, and more pilgrimage groups will come.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen just in being able to announce the beatification, our numbers are going up significantly already with visitors coming and mm-hmm. groups requesting to be able to come and celebrate a Mass in the cathedral and that. So we have a lot planned for that. Mm-hmm. We, again, are increasing our hours that were available and open for people to visit both the tomb as well as the museum, and our big dream is what we call the Sheen Experience, which is to take the building next to our pastoral center, the old Spalding High School, where he was valedictorian of his class,
mm-hmm.
and we are converting that into what will be a world-class experience for people to come to encounter Fulton Sheen, because if you encounter Sheen, you're going to encounter the Lord.
Yeah.
And so we're developing not just more in the sense of the traditional museum, but we're developing with technology today, as he used the technology, new technology of his day,
mm-hmm.
how people can encounter him and through him encounter the Lord in an immersive experience. So we're working on that. That's several years away. But all of the information about Sheen, place to submit if you receive a favor, is our website, celebratesheen.com. Celebratesheen.com.
I was just going to mention that. That's good. I'm glad you did that. You can also find out more about Archbishop Sheen's at that celebratesheen.com. And, of course, you'll be able to watch Venerable Fulton J. Sheen's beatification on EWTN. It'll be held on Thursday, September 24th at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time from St. Louis, Missouri. So we're really looking forward to that. All right, we'll take a little break, come back in a couple of minutes and get some of your questions and comments. So please stay with us. Welcome back. First, I want to invite you to tune in to EWTN on Friday, June 12th at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, right after the morning Mass, in order to participate in World Priests' Annual Global Rosary Relay for the Sanctification of Priests. They'll be right here at a chapel at EWTN, and will unite with people around the world praying the rosary for the sanctification of priests. If you want more information, go to worldpriest.com, worldpriest.com. And that's something that was a key element of Archbishop Sheen's whole ministry. You know, getting priests to be holy and praying themselves and praying for them. We have some questions.
Okay.
Let's start off with Anastasia in Ohio. Anastasia, what can we do for you today?
Oh, I just love this program. I'm crazy about Bishop Sheen. I think one of the things that I wanted to particularly mention was I've heard a lot about his intellect and his knowledge of current events and how he presented, you know, on the blackboard. The thing I think that endeared him, I know, with me, and probably was the reason he beat out, you know, Milty, was his humor. He'd always start out with a little story, a little human interest story that was usually true, if I'm not mistaken. He'd address letters that he received from his fans, and he wasn't afraid to make fun of his art, his own artwork. I think he sprinkled enough humor and wit throughout his whole program that it kind of kept it a little bit on the lighter side. It didn't drag you down and get you depressed and all that. And I can watch his reruns over and over and over again. I grew up with him. I'm in my 70s, so I just had to make sure that was mentioned. I wanted him to be appreciated for his wit and his humor.
Well, I tell you what, Anastasia, we have a little clip given an example of exactly what you're talking about. So let's take a look at that clip.
We're always very happy to hear from mothers about their children and their reactions of children to our program. One story came to us this week from Denver. It seems that this child, under 4 years of age, was a bit impatient about being served his breakfast. And he was banging his spoon on his bowl, demanding service. The mother was occupied and unable to do it. Finally picked up the bowl, pulled it over his head and says, "Look, Mom, Bishop Sheen." We will probably get offers from a cereal company after that story, but they can completely forget about it because it's nullified by another story which came to us from another boy under four from St. Paul, Minnesota. It seems as this particular boy was looking at the television on Tuesday evening, and finally we came on, and he shouted out to, "Mom, here's Admiral Sheen." Well, I suppose we are on airwaves, and it was not so wrong.
You know,
I was five when that came on the air.
You know, one of the things, you know, as the caller mentioned, he's known because he was a brilliant man. He was a great student of life, and he was a great student of philosophy and theology. But the way that he connected with people was to share his humor, mm-hmm. and it was to use real experiences of life.
Yes.
And what that did was disarm people, made him relatable.
Yes.
And so he could engage somebody on a very personal level and make you feel very comfortable. And then he could lead into the more, shall we say, weighty or heavy teaching that he wanted to express to you or to lead you to. He was just a master at his ability to connect first on a personal human level and then lead you to the deeper truths of faith.
down here in Alabama, we say that he knew how to bring the hay down so the goats could get it. That was his great strength. Sir, where are you from?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm from Indiana, not too far from Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay, great. And what's your question?
My question is, as the promoter for the cause of Bishop Fulton Sheen, have you heard any stories that maybe would be good to let people know, like just that give a little bit more of a glimpse into who Bishop Fulton Sheen was?
You know, in getting to learn and know Fulton Sheen over the last 6 years, in fact, December 9th of 2020, I began as Bishop of Peoria to celebrate Mass in front of his tomb. And so in that first Mass, I commented about my lack of knowledge of Fulton Sheen, but I was discovering a new friend. And the stories that I get to hear are just amazing. Everything from personal stories of when he came to a parish and he did a mission and gave a mission talk. I was privileged to meet his niece, Joan Cunningham, before she passed away. We had a delightful afternoon. She was bringing treasures to give to the Diocese of Peoria for the museum and that. And as we were creating all these pictures and that stories that she was talking about, there was a wonderful picture. I never knew he had dogs. And he had an Irish setter named Chumley. Uh-huh. and just this, you know, very human side picture of him with his dog. His niece-in-law, Dolores Sheen, lives in Peoria. I've got to know her over the last years. She's Polish by descent, and so she married into the Irish Sheen family. And she tells stories that are just so humorous of conversations and phone calls that he had with her talking about, you know, taking care of the Polish invader into the family. Uh-huh. and that. So the stories are just amazing of how personally he connected with so many people in so many different ways.
Yeah, no, he really did that. That's great stuff. We have another question here. Sir, where are you from?
I'm from Rockledge, Florida.
Good to have you here. Welcome. And your question?
What were the circumstances that led to Bishop Sheen's first television show?
Well, Sheen was a professor at Catholic University of America, mm-hmm. and he was becoming quite well known for his ability to teach and to preach, and that led to him being involved in the radio program, the Catholic Hour. And as he continued to have that fame grow, that ability to communicate so well over the waves, as TV was now coming about, he was given the opportunity to transfer from radio to TV and created the Life is Worth Living show.
Yeah. And, you know, one part of that, too, and this is something that he had related, mm-hmm. The number one show in television at that time was one, again, I remember quite well. Uh-huh. That was the Milton Berle
right.
show.
Right.
And Milton Berle was called Mr. Television, mm-hmm. number one show, unassailable by anybody. So they thought that the other channel that he went on thought, well, we'll put the priest over there. And yeah. just it's sort of a write-off because we have to put something in that time.
Right.
So, you know, it's no big loss to us. Well, it turns out that Archbishop Sheen pushed Milton Berle off of TV. He
right.
was so popular
right.
that his show went off the air.
Well, and if you stop and think about it, so when Sheen received the Emmy for being the best TV personality, first thing he did is he gave credit to his authors, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Yes, yes.
The authors of the gospel.
Yeah.
Because his material, again, came from that hour of prayer that he spent each day. And when you think about Milton Berle's show, it was a variety show. It was
yes.
there were other actors, actresses that were part of it. There were skits that were done. There was music that was done. And Sheen came out in this studio that looked like a library, and he had a blackboard, and he was dressed as a bishop, and he spoke. And his material was so much greater than all of the things that Milton Berle was trying to do in bringing humor and laughter into the world. Sheen was speaking the truth of the faith, the truth of the gospel, and speaking to people's hearts. And that's why he was so popular.
Absolutely. And he used that line when he met Milton Berle at a Friars Club dinner. And Berle said to him, "How'd you knock me off the? I was number one. I was Mr. Mm-hmm. TV." He said, "It was easy. I had better writers.
Yep.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John."
Yeah.
So that was his line then, too. Sir, where are you from?
Birmingham, Alabama.
Welcome. And your question?
My question is, we've heard stories about Archbishop Sheen's life, and I wondered if there was, beyond the leadership that he showed, were there themes that developed as you went through the process of researching and approval?
Certainly. Sheen, in fact, one of the things we're doing as a spiritual preparation for the beatification is following his example of making a holy hour. So we're going to have a novena of holy hours leading up to the beatification in the Diocese of Peoria. And each night, starting on September 15th of this year, leading up to the beatification on the 24th, each night we're going to have a holy hour with a theme around things that were so important aspects of Sheen's life. So prayer being one of them. Education, studying. We're going to have a night to reflect on the Eucharist and to reflect on the Blessed Mother. Sheen was very much aware of the cross in our life and the need to embrace the cross. Mm-hmm. So we'll have a reflection on suffering and the cross. September 20th, which is Sunday, we're going to reflect upon priesthood, which is actually the anniversary of his priesthood ordination. So it's fitting that as one of the nights we reflect on priesthood. And then his life with the missions, because serving the poor, serving the church around the world, when he became head of the Pontifical Mission Society, he said that the world was his parish. Mm-hmm. And he really took that to heart for the rest of his life. Mm-hmm. So reflecting upon the missions, the call to evangelize that we have to take up in our life today is another night. And then finally, we're going to reflect upon humility and our call to sainthood. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the themes that were very clear, a part of his life that spiritually we're going to use to prepare by doing these holy hours. And there's other things. As we mentioned earlier, he was very staunch in his opposition and speaking out about communism. And how we are to be faithful citizens, you know, in our country. But he would critique the far right and the far left.
Yes.
He did not fit into any political category. He felt that America was a great blessing, but he felt America needed the church, yep. needed Catholicism.
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely did that critique. I mean, he was staunchly against racial bigotry
right.
and the segregation,
right.
but equally against communism, just being another form of oppression.
Right.
We have another caller. We have Louise from the great state of Connecticut. Louise, what can we do for you?
Embarrassment of the state of Connecticut. But anyway, yeah, we have recollections of Bishop Sheen from Holyoke, which was part, you know, a lot of Irish in the beginning in the 50s, and we used to watch Bishop Sheen at my aunt's house before we even had a television. So my brother knew who he was, and he collected autographs, and Bishop Sheen was in the lineup in the parade, and Charlie was running after him, and there was a picture in the paper, and you see the bodyguard kind of scowling at him, but Bishop Sheen was, you know, graciously gave him his autograph. And Charlie, my brother, went to seminary for several years and with the Les Salettes, the French order, anyway. And they decided it wasn't his vocation, but he kept studying theology, got a PhD in theology, one of the youngest at Fordham in New York. And then he taught for almost 40 years in Scranton at Marywood College until he got ALS. He had Lou Gehrig's disease for about 12 years. He died 4 years ago. Though he never became a priest, but I'm sure he was inspired a lot by Bishop Sheen. But his middle son did. In fact, just before he died, my nephew, after his father died, one of the first things he did, one of the first funerals he did, was for his father. It was very emotional. And he had about 20 priests at his funeral because they all knew my brother.
Thank you. And, you know, something that I think is true about Archbishop Sheen, he also saw the importance of the lay apostolate.
Absolutely.
This was, he would not say, well, it would have been better for your priest. No, he saw that the lay apostolate was very important. And that was one of the items from Vatican Council, which he attended.
He participated in all of the Second Vatican Council.
Absolutely.
And I don't have the exact quote, but basically one of the things that Sheen said is that the church is not going to be saved by the bishops and the priests and the religious. It's going to be saved by the faithful.
That's right. He did. I've heard him say that, you know, in some of the talks that I listened to. And we have one more question here from our studio audience. Well, Brother Johns.
Welcome back.
Yeah, slowly I turned. Go ahead. What you got there, Brother John?
I just wanted to ask, too, with Bishop Sheen, I know he did a lot with television and radio, but what was his role with the missions?
So Sheen was appointed the head of the Pontifical Mission Society. And in that role, his responsibility was to encourage the church in the United States to support the work of the missions around the world. He was a masterful fundraiser.
Yes.
But for him, it was not just about raising money to send checks to other parts of the world to support the church. That was clearly part of the responsibility. But Sheen traveled the world to visit the missions.
Yes.
To understand what it was that his role in the leading the Pontifical Mission Society, what it was to have an impact on places in the world where the gospel had yet to be preached, to bring Jesus to places where Jesus had not been previously known. So he was very much active as the director, going around the world, visiting mission churches and dioceses. When he was there, he would see what the dollars that he was raising back in the United States were going for.
Mm-hmm.
And he would also be able to then speak very confidently with firsthand knowledge of how important it is for us to see the church, as he said, the world was his parish. The church is universal. And how do we bring the gospel to places around the world that need to have support to be able to, you know, have priests, religious, to build hospitals and schools, seminaries. That was his work in leading the Pontifical Mission Society.
Also, all the money that he made on his television show went to those missions.
Yes.
He didn't keep that money for himself at all. He wasn't interested. Yeah. He did that. And he tells the most shameful moment of his life was when he met a leper and he was giving crosses to lepers and he just dropped in his hand and he was ashamed of himself. So he picked it up from the man's leprous hand and then placed it there. Mm-hmm. And he realized he was afraid to touch the leper.
Right.
But he was also learning lessons and that's a great thing.
Yeah.
I just want to let people know, if you want more information on Fulton Sheen's cause, go to celebratesheen.com. You can watch Venerable Sheen, Fulton Sheen's Beatification Mass on EWTN Thursday, September 24th at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, live from St. Louis, Missouri. There's also a Sheen app you can get in your app store. And it's his shows and retreats and talks that he gave. It's brilliant. Thank you for being with us, Excellency. And if you would join me in blessing our audience, may Almighty God bless you and keep you. the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And we can bring you this show and all of our other shows only because this network is brought to you by you. Please remember to keep us in between your gas bill, your cable bill, and your electric bill every month so we can pay all of our bills every month too. God bless you all, and thank you for your support.